Petroglyph Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to our first ever Petroglyph Podcast. This is Kevin Yu, Petroglyph's community manager, also known to you guys as Sage King. Our first interview is with Frank Klepacki, our audio director. Welcome, Frank.
How you doing?
All right, well, there's a lot of questions I have here for you, but the first question is, how did you get started? What type of background did you have, and like your interest in music and so forth?
Yeah, well, I got started at a real young age. My parents were musicians, so naturally I gravitated towards music, just being around them. Picked up playing the drums when I was 8 and started playing professionally in Las Vegas casinos when I was 11. After that, I took interest in the other instruments, such as keyboard and guitar, and eventually I worked my way up to learning about recording studios by cutting demos with different bands and whatnot, so I kind of had an idea of how that process went, too. So I kind of just soaked all that in and started doing it on my own to the point where, you know, when I was in high school, I was tracking my own songs and eventually started making my own demos of my own original material.
So how did this music interest lead into, you know, the game music that you're doing now?
It's kind of interesting. I found out about Westwood Studios back when I was in high school as well, and I had already loved their games and was already playing them all the time, as big a gamer as I was. You know, at the same time, I was tinkering around with my computer and figuring out how to program music into it with basic code on my old Tandy 1000. You know, it could play three voices back simultaneously, so that was like a big deal back then. And I was just happy enough to make that work. And I was playtesting at Westwood for a while. That's kind of how I got my foot in the door there. Afterwards, I got to know the audio director there really well, and I said, "Hey, if you need any help after I get out of school, let me know." And he listened to my tape and liked what he heard, and the rest was history. I was head of music at Westwood ever since the age of 17.
Yeah, so most of your fans know you by the music that you did for the original Command & Conquer. What inspired the music from Command & Conquer, and how did you react to the overwhelming popularity of the music from Command & Conquer? I don't believe there's any other music from an RTS game that was as popular.
Yeah, it was quite surprising to me. When we first started working on the original Command & Conquer, at that time, you know, the audio technology in the sound cards that you could get had, you know, progressed to the point where you could stream WAV files rather than rely on the FM synthesis that it had, you know, to play back, you know, voices that were on the card itself. So really that opened up a whole new door and allowed me to create themes that sounded the way I intended him to sound, you know, with, you know, the good keyboards and guitar that I had at the time. You know, I could actually record everything the way that I wanted it to sound and then play it back that way through the game. So with that, I wanted to do a multi-genre style that, you know, kind of crossed many different boundaries, you know, everything from rock to dance to orchestral to hip-hop to whatever, just kind of fused it all together. Which came about just from listening to a lot of different music with the audio director and the president back then, and picking out different segments of themes and off of different CDs and different styles. And, oh, this sounds cool and that sounds cool. And I said, well, man, let's just put them all together and see what it sounds like. And that ended up being the definitive style. And so from that point, after the game was released, I was really surprised at how well it was received and that the music had such an impact that it was, you know, in demand as a separate soundtrack. So that was just very flattering. And I don't think it really even hit home with me until after, you know, the series kept going and we got past covert operations and then finally Red Alert. Red Alert really pushed it over the top with Hell March as probably the biggest single, if you will, for the franchise. And
definitely,
everybody and their mother knows that song now, so it's a great thing. I'm happy to have had that experience.
Good stuff. So how would you characterize the type of music that made the music from Command & Conquer so different than other games?
Well, really, at its time, there wasn't really anything like that for a game in terms of focusing on what was more modern and hip at the time, you know, on the radio and whatnot. I tried to fuse some of that sound in with, you know, the different genres that I was toying around with and experimenting with. And really, it was so much fun because I had a lot of creative freedom. So when you have that, you know, you can really create something that's unique, whereas, you know, if you base it off of something else, you know, then you're kind of stuck with making sure that it represents, you know, whatever singular direction that you've already been given or that you're asked to provide. You know, that really had a lot to do with it as well, as having that freedom, and it resulted in obviously something great. So I'm
definitely
very fortunate to have been in that position.
So Frank, as a more personal question, what makes your job rewarding and why do you do what you do?
Number one, I love working with a great team. I'm basically one component of a greater cause. You know, there's a whole group of talented people, you know, artists, programmers, designers, producers. You know, everybody really comes together, and when you have a great chemistry and you gel really well, it's kind of like being in a band even. You know, it's, you know, when that chemistry is there, then the work just flows that much easier and allows you to create something really great. It's just rewarding to see that, you know, it pays off in the end and that your product is on the shelf and that people appreciate it and you know you've created a fun experience for people.
There you have it from a true gamer. I think definitely creating these awesome games, you know, you really do need to have that authentic passion for it and the drive to do it, you know, no matter what. So, I mean, what are some of your fondest memories during, you know, this whole period of creating games?
Gosh, there's several. I've been at this for about 15 years now, so there's so many games that I've done, you know, dozens. And with that in mind, some of the moments that really stand out to me that I had a lot of fun with was, of course, going as far back as, you know, Dune 2, breaking ground with the first real-time strategy game ever and creating a unique score for that. I just kind of went nuts and did my own thing with it and made it just kind of strange and atmospheric. And even for as limited as the technology was back then, you know, a lot of fans really liked it. And I, again, had the pleasure of revisiting that when we did Dune 2000, and I got to make the songs sound the way they're supposed to and sound like professional recordings. Of course, working on the first Command & Conquer, as I touched on before. Of course, that turned into its own beast. and then also working on Disney's The Lion King was a unique experience in that I actually got to visit Disney Studios and see an early version of the movie before they'd even finished animating it. Working on Command & Conquer, Tiberian Sun was a lot of fun because we had the full motion video with James Earl Jones and Michael Biehn in there. And, you know, I just had a blast scoring music to scenes with James Earl Jones in it. You know, he was like the voice of Darth Vader, and I've always been the avid Star Wars fan. So Blade Runner, another great game that I had fun doing. I always loved the movie, so, you know, getting my chance to mimic Vangelis' music note for note and then also add some of my own stuff to that was very nice. To date, you know, having worked on Star Wars is just the peak of my career, really. I've always been a massive Star Wars fan, so the opportunity to work on an actual legitimate Star Wars product and contribute to that and, you know, say that my name was associated in some way is all I could ever ask for.
Awesome. How would you describe the transition from Westwood Studios here to Petroglyph now? How's your job different, if it is?
Yeah, it's very different in that, well, at Westwood, I was primarily just head of music. You know, I was just responsible for soundtracks, although I did, you know, some auxiliary sound design or voiceover work here and there whenever I was asked to. My focus was always music. At Petroglyph, I do basically all of the above now, all of the sound design and implementation and integration of the voice and of course the soundtracks. So definitely raised the bar in terms of, you know, what I do here. And when Westwood closed, you know, that's really when I dove into that. Prior to even joining Petroglyph, I got heavily involved in that just so I could make sure that I was multifaceted in that aspect and could provide all those different services. And it just happened to work out great that that's what Petroglyph needed, and I happen to still be around, so.
So why Petroglyph, you know, compared to all the other developers out there?
The three founders of Petroglyph, Mike Legg, Steve Tall, and Joe Bostic, they've been at Westwood forever, and I was there a great deal of time as well. I was there for about 12 years. They said, you know, hey, we want to stay in Vegas, and we want to keep making great games, and let's see if we can do this. And so then when they got the contract, they called me up and said, hey, you know, we need an audio director, you know, why don't you come on board? And when I heard that they had the Star Wars franchise as the first game out the box, I was just like, oh my gosh, you couldn't have picked a more perfect game for me to work on because, you know, they're my favorite movies of all time and I know the sound and the music inside out and backwards. So it was a no-brainer for me to work on and know exactly how to integrate, you know, all of the classic Star Wars sound and music and as well as adding some of my own stuff to it, which was great.
Yeah, so about the stuff that you added new, what kind of challenge was it to bring your own flavor to Empire at War, you know, already having such a legacy from Star Wars music and stuff John Williams has?
You know, with Empire at War, since the focus was on the original trilogy and centering around up to A New Hope, I really wanted to remain a purist in that regard. And as much as I wanted to just get my feet wet and do all kinds of new crazy stuff, I was just like, you know, I've got to hold back. I need to please the Star Wars fan in me first before I please myself. And so that was my approach I took. I used a lot of John Williams' classic music as well as, you know, all of the classic sounds from Ben Burtt. And then what I decided to do was approach all of the new stuff from a standpoint of all of the newer areas in the game or different planets that we hadn't seen or different parts of the campaign and whatnot. I wanted to focus on that as the places where I would put my own new music and my own new sounds and, you know, different things like that. You know, ambiences that we necessarily haven't heard before I created, or, you know, a lot of the hardpoint destruction sequences, you know, anything that was specific to our game that wasn't necessarily specific to Star Wars, that's where I created new content. And so I created a good handful of new themes for Empire at War, about 10 new themes total, and John Williams would create a brand new theme for every film. I took that same approach with Empire at War, and I created its own theme and derived all my new themes off of it. And like I said, used it in primarily new areas of the game that weren't necessarily familiar to the films.
Well, I've got to say, the music you've done has definitely brought the game to life. I mean, part of the whole Star Wars experience is hearing all those blaster fires, and you hear the X-Wings, you know, flying over you in the big capital
ships.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and working with LucasArts, the voice department, was awesome, too. They really know the Star Wars franchise. Of course, they're experts. And so with me having known everything about the films myself, you know, it was just sort of a seamless integration. And you know, Will Beckman down there is the main voice lead I dealt with a lot. And we just found some great casts and, you know, really brought it to life on the voice end, too. Just wanted to mention that as well.
Everybody's definitely expecting a lot of great things from the Empire War expansion, Forces of Corruption. How do you think you'll add to what's already there, and how will it be influenced by the criminal faction that's going to be added to the expansion?
Yeah, well, that was exciting to me, because doing an expansion that's not necessarily based off of, you know, traditional lore of Star Wars allows me to have a little bit more creative freedom. So it puts me in a position to create a new theme, yet again, for this criminal faction, introduce that for the expansion, and then derive a whole new set of themes off of that. So so that's going to be really cool, because I will focus, you know, less on integrating familiar Williams themes into my scores and using more of my own themes that I'm going to create for this faction and what I've already established for the Empire at War melodies and things like that. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm already having fun. I've already created a main theme for the faction that we're using on the title screen so far, and I think it's working out really well.
It's definitely something worth staying tuned for. So we probably have a lot of audio gurus out there right now who are also looking to get into the industry and to develop their skills. How would you recommend them going about this? And ultimately, you know, I mean, they want to have a job like what you have right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm so happy to have the career that I've had, and it just keeps getting better. The difference between now and when I started was that, you know, when I started, the industry was in a lot different position in terms of, you know, it was a lot of bleeps and blips is what I referred to it as, because, you know, the technology was not where it is today. Now the technology is comparable to any other medium. I mean, video games competes directly with, you know, film and DVDs and music CDs. And so with that in mind, you know, the quality has to be on par with that and, you know, top of the line. And so with that aspect, you know, anybody that's new coming into it has to have a knowledge of that right off the bat. And the only way to really do that is, you know, through experience and education, learning about, you know, how orchestras work, you know, seeing how they intertwine all the different parts of the sections to come together as one to play the whole song, learning, you know, music theory, learning the engineering part of it, even, you know, learning how to mix a song, you know, on a technical level, effects that you can add and plugins. I mean, there's so much software out there now that's sort of like, you know, take your pick what you want to learn. But, you know, that's the great thing about the audio industry is there's so many facets to it that, you know, if music isn't quite your thing, then maybe the technical part is, you know, and you can be a sound designer and create and record different sounds. Or you could mix for, you know, surround. And there's all those different avenues to go down. And then, of course, you know, taking courses in college, different colleges that specialize in different music programs. I know you're a USC grad. I know USC has a great music program, and so does colleges like Full Sail and Berkeley. And so it just depends on what you're interested in. But apart from acquiring all of those skills, then obviously it's about making those business contacts. And the way to do that is to go to a lot of these conventions like E3 and GDC and Game Developers Conference, obviously what I mean by that. Yeah. not everybody knows what the abbreviations stand for.
No problem. All right, thanks a lot, Frank. I mean, that pretty much covers most of our interview. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
You guys can definitely also find out more information about Frank and his music at frankklepacki.com. That's Frank Klepacki, KLEPACKI.com. So go ahead and check it out. All right, well, this pretty much wraps up our first Petroglyph podcast. This is Kevin Yu signing out. Thanks. End of transmission.